This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Have a listen to these phrases. You're so ugly, it hurts. Or how about this one? No filter can fix that face. Or maybe if you lost some weight. Now, if you're cringing just hearing those phrases, imagine being a teenager and reading them on your own social media feed. Well, for many young people, this kind of online body shaming isn't rare, it's constant. New research shows that these comments don't just hurt feelings, they can actually rewire how teenagers see themselves and even how their brains process social threats. Well, joining us is Dr. Talia Prince, who's a postdoctoral research fellow in youth mental health and neuroimaging at the University of the Sunshine Coast. Talia, welcome to Drive.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Can you describe to us, I suppose, what appearance-related cyberbullying looks like in practice?
Yeah, absolutely. So appearance-related cyberbullying is one of the most common forms of cyberbullying experienced by adolescent girls. And it's any kind of cyberbullying that's directly targeted towards someone's physical attributes. So this might include their skin tone, their facial features, their hair, or their body image in general. And we have found that it is really, really prevalent among adolescent females. In our study, we found that actually 98% of adolescent girls said that they had experienced cyberbullying, and 42% of that was appearance-related specifically.
I mean, they are staggering figures, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very high.
Now, some of the most hurtful posts aren't directed at the person necessarily reading them, are they? What kind of impact can that still have on someone who does see this sort of material online?
Yeah, so we have seen that there is a strong association between viewing these kind of stimuli online and differences in how the brain responds. So we did conduct a study where we used something called functional MRI, which is a technique that just shows which parts of the brain are more active during certain experiences. And we showed teenage girls a bunch of different social media posts. So it looked like, you know, these were posts on Instagram or TikTok. So we showed them those scenarios while they were in the MRI. And then so we saw that when they viewed those scenarios, different parts of the brain lit up more than others. And these included areas, emotional pain, self-image, and social judgment. And these regions in the brain are used to interpret how others see us and how we deal with feelings such as shame or rejection. So it's quite staggering, really.
So now that you've observed the physical activation in the brain of what happens when these posts are viewed, is there a threshold in terms of when it does start to impact your self-esteem? Can it be just one post?
We haven't looked at this one post, but we did find strong associations between experiencing appearance-related cyberbullying, whether they were bystanders, so that means just witnessing it, or whether they were victims or, you know, bullies themselves. And we found associations between those experiences and body dissatisfaction, as well as eating disorders, eating disorder symptoms. And we also found that the majority of girls that viewed or had an experience with appearance-related cyberbullying desired to change how they look, like with 80% of those desiring cosmetic procedures or restrictive dieting or excessive exercise to change how they look, essentially because of those experiences.
What I find striking is that even just those observing this kind of bullying can affect someone's sense of self. What's going on there?
Well, I think when they're seeing, you know, this kind of bullying targeting, you know, their friends or their family or other girls that are, you know, of different body shapes and body sizes, they're not differentiating whether that is directed towards them or not. Mm. So There's a lot of comparison going on, as well as like, adolescents are already in a very vulnerable stage of development, especially for their emotional regulation, and they're really sensitive to peer feedback, and it's really important for them. So when they're viewing that for someone else, I guess it's having the same effect as if it was targeted towards themselves.
I think the other thing I find really sad, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, if you got bullied or picked on because of your physical appearance, I suppose, you know, you had to almost line up a few things. The bully had to be there physically in front of you for you to, and you had to hear it as well or hear it through someone else. Now we've got social media. I mean, it could be coming from any direction, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing with social media is that, like, these bullying comments are there indefinitely, and they can be shared, and the bully can be anonymous. There's just so many factors what you were saying, social media compared to traditional bullying, where the extent of the harm can be a lot more damaging for young people who are continuously experiencing it over and over. They don't have support systems really in place to help them deal with what they're seeing and what they're experiencing online.
From the research that you've done, what would you say to young girls who are experiencing this kind of bullying?
I think the biggest thing is to talk about what they're experiencing, to find someone that's safe for you, that you can you can talk about your experiences, ask questions about, what can I do? How can I help someone that's experiencing this, and how can I be supportive in myself experiencing this? I think that's really important. And I think it's also really important that we can support parents and educators with tools and resources and language to talk to young people about what they see online. I think that's really, really helpful.
Have you had any comments from any of the social media platforms regarding the research?
No, I haven't had any, actually.
It'd be interesting to see what they've got to say. Do you reckon they've got a responsibility there to change how, I suppose, appearance is policed or policies towards it and how it's judged online?
Absolutely. I think social media companies really should strengthen their reporting systems and also better moderate content that may promote appearance-related abuse. The before and after posts or viral trends targeting how someone looks or having filtering systems to ensure that those kind of cyberbullying comments are removed. I think that's really important moving forward.
Talia, great to chat with you. Great research. Thanks for sharing it with us on Drive.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Talia Prince, postdoctoral research fellow in youth mental health and neuroimaging at the University of the Sunshine Coast.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.